Grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever had that annoying dangling string on a shirt, right? And of course, the natural reaction is to do what? Pull on the string. And of course, you know what happens. It gets worse, and before you know it, the shirt begins to unravel, and then you're throwing it away, right? So too, the same thing has happened to us in our times. Truth has been pulled on like a string on a shirt, and not realizing what this means to the fabric of our Western world. The result is that reality has become what we say is relative, which means self-made. Truth is now based on something, pretty much just something that I feel, rather than something known or to be absolute. So if it feels right, it must be right. If it feels wrong, well, then it's no good. This has left us and our society unprotected to powers of darkness, now lurking right at our doorsteps and even in our homes. As we consider the gospel according to St. Mark, the first miracle that we kind of stumble upon when you open that gospel reading or that gospel text is not a nice pretty wedding at Cana where you get some behind-the-scenes work of water into wine, right? No, the first thing that we stumble into is Jesus calls his disciples to follow him, and then literally he plunges them right into the midst of the thick of stuff. These fishers of men were not going to do much catching based on their own strength or craftiness. Just as there is a power base for life, you know how that works. You need to have production in order to have a business, votes in order to play politics, or a degree in order to be in academics. So Christ, though, brings a power that is actually an authority. As the only Son of God, he holds victory against the devil, and so it means everyone needs what he brings, because nobody else has such an authority. Jesus, by his authoritative word and his presence, protects us from all dangers to stand upright always by faith in him. And so, as you know in our text, the purpose of the Sabbath day was to keep it holy. And so, kind of the way the Jews did that was when you came together on a Sabbath day, which was a Saturday, they came together in what was called synagogues. And synagogues were made up of basically at least 10 families. And so they came together in terms of what you're supposed to do, which is to honor the third commandment. When Jesus taught, though, we know it was clear. He stood apart from the scribes and the teachers of the law. While they had human authority, they also had the cleverness and the cunning of reason and persuasion. Jesus was speaking from himself. When he stepped in that pulpit and when he spoke God's word, you knew something was different. And that's because he was the source of truth and life. And so his authority as the only Son of God literally opened the scriptures to shine light upon them that indeed at that time was much lost, kind of like at the times of the Reformation. And that light was what? You want to sum it up? The light was pretty much repent and believe in the gospel. Throughout these scriptures, you search them to find life, but all these scriptures, finally, Jesus is telling them, is speaking about who? Me. The authority of Jesus' word is the power basis for the church to be upright before him. Honoring the Sabbath day is not a day. We know it's not having to come together on Sunday that makes us holy. That's not about a day. It never has been. It's about being at rest. And rest is what God designed sinful humanity to have to need. Especially after the fall into sin, we need rest. And of course, God has now revealed that in the person and work of Jesus Christ. However much damage by bad Bible scholarship, false preaching, gives no rest. Many who go to churches only go away with law. They only go away with wanting to know what to do, how to make my life better. If you want that, you don't need a church. You need to open up some kind of book and figure out the 10 steps to how to better your life or marriage or something. But that's not going to give you peace, because you're still what? You're still sinners. You still need something greater. And so it's kind of interesting. A recent study says that Americans, 56%, and especially millennials, those are those guys in their 20s and gals, right? They don't feel that any one religious text has a monopoly on truth, but that they are all different expressions of the same spiritual message. This is very dangerous. What this is saying is that the millennial young people actually think that God's holy word of the Gospels is the same as the Quran, the same as what is taught in Hinduism, Buddhism. It's just about having to be a good person. And that is a fundamental lie, 100%. The gospel is a unique message, unable to be mixed and matched, for the purpose of Jesus and his word is to make sinners holy in him. More than a prophet like Moses, God has sent his son who now mediates, literally stands between salvation, not based upon what to do, but what he promises to do for us. It's the definitive understanding of what worship is and why Lutherans call worship a divine service. Divine meaning God's service. Well, we respond, but what we do is not even close to as great as what God does. And so the danger we find out is when you get the gospel right, like Jesus did when he opened the scriptures in that synagogue, we find out the danger is satanic attack. And that kind of attack has to be silenced. Having stirred up life by the gospel, the dead ways of man gave way to the better presence of Jesus, right? People were amazed. Who is this? Notice how the servants of the devil are not too fond of letting go of power and are quick to respond to true teaching set upon Christ. They're going to jump on that as fast as they can by whatever means is possible to do it. And so we find out the means was there's a poor guy here. Who knows how he got demon-possessed? But unlike an illness, a mental disorder, here is a poor man literally taken over by a powerful presence, and it made him a complete and utter victim. Demon possession means you have no control. Oh, you want to be free, but you're not. The demon also did not fool around. He wanted control, just like he had over the man, and he wanted to take it out on Christ. He made a scene, he made a spectacle, so everybody else had to pay attention to him and not to Jesus. And then he called Jesus out by saying, "You're the Holy One of God." He was trying to basically put Jesus under his feet. He was what the demon said, though, wasn't he? I mean, the demon was right. Matter of fact, they probably know better than what humanity does. They know the seriousness of what it means when Jesus comes. But of course, it was a mockery of the second commandment, honoring God's name, and Jesus wouldn't have it that way, would he? His name is to be praised and give thanks for. And so Jesus told the demon pretty much to just shut up. Be quiet. Come out of him. Wherever Christ brings his word of truth and purity, he is ready to engage the demonic attacks so that any can stand upright in him. It's a dangerous thing to open up the scriptures and to have the gospel be shared, the freedom that comes purely from Jesus as a gift. Demon possession is a reality that the Western world is naive about as we open ourselves up to anything that satisfies. And when we open ourselves up based upon we can choose whatever makes me feel right, we're going to find out what this may mean in very sad ways. Because there's been many walls that have been built up to protect us from the demons. Also, though, more than possession is what's called oppression. And we know what it means to be oppressed. And the devil does a pretty good job at it. It's kind of power that entraps us with plenty of idols, those things that attract us. And when they attract us, they gain hold of us. And so it may not be demon possession, but it's a kind of oppression, right? Oppressing us with things like addictions. I can't get away from the porn. I can't get away from the greed of my life. I can't get away from my works because I just got to keep doing stuff to make myself feel that I'm achieving things. Loneliness becomes a sad oppression where you literally lock yourself in and you don't know what to do because you have nowhere to go. And of course, the biggest thing, of course, is the guilt of life. Things that I do aren't so great and I know it in my heart, and indeed, it oppresses me. Christ stares down all of this kind of darkness that is so much in life. And by called servants of his word, the devil has no room to speak. And so that's what's so beautiful about the divine service. We come confessing that we've been in the darkness. And we get to hear today again Jesus say, I forgive you all your sins by absolution. It's a wonderful thing. Jesus is saying, be gone, Satan, and be freed, you victims. Arise, for the Holy One of God is here, and basically your baptism speaks a better word. You are free, forgiven. And so, because of this momentary casting out of a demon, the spread of fame needed to go into a better direction, though. It spread everywhere. I mean, if you see something like that, you're going to talk about it, right? Of course, there was no keeping a lid on it. The people were caught up in the moment. They said, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. But they missed what the servant of Satan fully understood. They missed the most important thing. Not the experience of a demon-possessed man being freed by Jesus. They missed that Jesus is the Holy One of God. They didn't get it yet. If casting out a single demon spreads news, then being cast upon the cross became God's bigger plan to shame all the ways of the devil. That was going to be news, wasn't it? But it wasn't going to be news like people thought. It was going to be a spectacle and a wonderment of God to suffer at the hands of sinners and enemies and even Satan himself, but to put it all to shame. This news of Jesus being the crucified Savior, the Holy One, has placed at the center of his church and what he wants spread throughout the whole world. You see, the problem is we miss the point when we don't realize that this good news has gone to the cross and literally all darkness has been consumed by his sacrifice. And so there's an amazing act that Jesus still does today because his teaching has authority. Power to give life and forgiveness places us under Jesus by his word and sacrament. There's nowhere else you can go to be free. Not a single place, but under word and sacrament. That is the only light that shines in the darkness. Rather than fading glory of Moses and the law, that's where people are going today. What do we have to do to save our churches? What do I have to do to make my life better? You are going under the wrong means of what is called grace, because that's not going to get you out of be free. Freedom is the holiness of Jesus that has covered all of your sins with righteousness that never fades, never falters, is always for you. It means baptism pulls any out of the clutches of Satan. How many in my generation, how many younger children are not baptized? And they are subject to the devil in ways that those who are baptized will never understand. It also means that life has a new purpose, and it's all based on forgiveness. And so rather than just psychological talk about how to make marriage better between a man and a woman, it literally is Jesus sitting at the center of forgiveness between a man and a woman all their days together. It means the fear of Satan has been crucified in Christ. It's the strongest tool the devil has is fear. We know fear motivates. We see it used in politics and economics and all the ways in this world to indeed control. And Jesus takes that kind of fear and crucifies it for us so that we can trust in him. Even if darkness seems to be winning, Jesus, as the Holy One of God, stands in the sacrament, promising his kingdom and sacrifice are for you. That's the kind of darkness you see when someone's dying. It's the kind of devilish thing when literally the devil and the darkness is surrounding a person who dies and they do not have a light. But Jesus comes with a great light, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins. Go in peace. If we are captive today to self-made truth, life is what you want to make it. We want to go down that road, I got news for you. Jesus comes to disturb this lie of Satan. He's going to disturb it. He's going to rock you up. He has to. In The Lord of the Rings, one of my favorite kind of movies, the wizard Gandalf had to kind of shake things up when he found the king of Rohan possessed by an evil spirit. There's an exorcism right in that movie. And in it, when Theoden, the king, is finally released from his captor and begins to regain his senses, it's kind of a neat line. Gandalf says to the king, "Breathe the free air again, my friend. Breathe the freedom given for you in Jesus once again this day." He has dragged all darkness down by his death. Darkness that you deal with in different and various ways in your lives, but he's dragged it all down because he's died 100% so that you will never die. And the absolute truth rests in his resurrection as life for sinners. He lives, and more than he lives above, he lives with us to set the prisoners free, to keep us safe, to possess you, because he bought you at a price. And you're worth fighting for. Jesus, by his authoritative word and presence, now protects us from all dangers. And there are so many. I always think about this. One of the joy of heaven is I get to go to heaven and be able to see all the dangers that I so naively thought were so easy for me to step through. And you get to rejoice in heaven. And guess what? God was that faithful to keep you safe, to remain trusting in Jesus all your days. And so stand upright in him once again this day, for it is by grace you're saved through faith, so that nobody can boast but Jesus, our King. Amen.